Welcome to the Teen Life Podcast, where we research teen culture so you can focus on connection. My name is Tobin, and once again, we are back with Carly and Caleb this week. And today, we're going to start with a weird topic about leap year, because leap year is weird, and have some weird leap year facts. We're going to talk about movies and TVs about teens from Caleb's Corner, and then we're going to end this episode this week with talking about friendship anxiety with Carly. But since leap year is leap day, leap year is in a couple of days, I thought I would bring us some facts today. Y'all cool with some weird leap year facts? Like,
I'm excited.
Let me get your general feelings about leap day before I kind of give us some facts. Like, how do you are you indifferent? Do you like hate it? Does it make you feel weird?
I personally am indifferent. Like, I didn't even know it was a leap year this year.
Yeah.
So, and but to me, it's just weird. I'm like, what? Like, well, why do we just have an extra day every 4 years? Weird.
Yeah, I think the calendar is weird in general, but I don't have like super specific feelings about it. I wish every month was just the same amount of days.
Yes. That would make life a lot easier for a lot of people.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so much easier.
So Julius Caesar, yes, that Caesar introduced the first calendar leap year in 46 BC. This must have been the same year he brought out his salad. So he I guess at one big point, year. Yeah, it's a big year. He introduced the salad and then also like, hey, because of this, this is now leap year. So he did it. If I remember correctly, it was an every four years thing. And then as time went on, we realized like actually that wasn't technically accurate. And we were having, which I'm like in my head, I'm like, how in the world can you know this without technology in the past? But I guess the Egyptians also figured this out. And then some pope, like 1500 years later, changed it to the way it is now. So I forget his name, it's Pope something. But people on this day that are born on this day are called leapers or leapings, which leapings? Seems very weird.
I like leaplings.
Yeah, it makes me think of Lemmings, that old video game, like with the blue, the green haired dudes. Do y'all know anybody that was born on leap day?
No, my in-laws were married on leap day.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
The only one that I know is Jerry, Larry, Gary Gergich from Parks and Recreation. He was born on leap day. Yeah. So,
wait, the actor or the character?
No, the character. Because they celebrate his 16th birthday on one of the episodes. So that is a thing, though. Like, I was doing some research. Like, that is a thing of people celebrating, like, having big blowouts on their birthday every 4 years. The day doesn't technically legally exist according to many things that I read online. So it's basically a purge day, which is very terrifying. About 4.1 million people in the world are leaplings. And there is a 1 in 1400 chance to being born on leap day. There are two important musicians born on this day. One is Gioachino Rossini, who wrote the William Tell Overture, and then Ja Rule. So, yeah.
Just two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. One of them wrote one of the greatest classical pieces, and one of them sounds like he needs a cough drop all the time. So, it is a Scottish and Irish tradition that women propose to men on leap days. So, if you're a Scottish or Irish man in a relationship and you don't want to commit yet, you better be careful. So don't go around your girlfriend or serious long-term girlfriend on a leap day in a couple of days. The queen, so that stems from Queen Margaret of Scotland, enacted a law under which women were allowed to propose marriage to men on leap day. And if a man refused, he could be required to pay the woman 12 pairs of gloves, a silk gown, or money.
Oh, yeah. So I'd be proposing all over the place. Yeah.
What?
You have like a whole drawer full of silk gloves. Yeah. So, leap year. Very weird.
That's crazy. I've decided now that since the day doesn't technically exist, I'm not showing up to work on leap day ever.
Yeah. Just ever tap this,
do something
tap this
legally.
Podcast as a reference. Yeah. So that.
Sorry, Dave. Day doesn't exist.
Yeah, every time it rolls around, I ask myself, like, why do we do this? So I looked it up this time. So
that is interesting. And now I have facts. But as we transition now from leap year into naturally the Oscars,
smoothest transition.
We're going to jump right into Caleb's Corner. Yeah, with the Oscars coming up, Emmys have wrapped up as well. We're going to talk about popular movies that are about teens. And one of the things that I'm interested in, like, evaluating is, like, how realistic of a teen experience do we think these movies portray? Mm-hmm. Are they accurate? I mean, there's some that I feel like are heavy no's. Like, if we talk about, like, the, you know, we talked a lot about Harry Potter last week, you know, things like Harry Potter,
yeah,
which is why we'll just skip over this. Divergent, Hunger Games, right, are all
so accurate.
That seems super accurate, maybe in a few years. Do, 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 do. Teen Wolf,
Are you talking about the movie or the TV show?
Yes.
We could talk about both, yeah. I haven't seen the movie yet. Did watch the TV show.
Okay.
Is there a remake of this movie too? Are we talking about the Michael J. Fox one or is there a remake?
I think there's a remake.
Oh, good gracious. Okay.
Recently. Napoleon Dynamite. I feel like of any of these, Napoleon Dynamite probably gives the most realistic insight.
Okay. I watched this movie recently and it was made.
Wait, hold on. For the first time or?
No.
Okay. I was about to say. I was about to yell at you. Okay.
Yeah. It was made in the 2000s, early 2000s, but it's like set like it's in like in the 80s. Like what they wear is wild. However, fun fact, quickly, that Josh pointed out that made me feel super old. Like freshmen in high school right now were not born when Napoleon Dynamite was released.
Yeah.
That's my
son. Can't keep putting things in that context.
Yeah.
Okay, that's slippery slope.
I know,
it's a losing game.
There's an article or an interview with John Heder, who's the guy that plays Napoleon Dynamite, and he helped write and produce the movie. And he said that that was on purpose, that they chose this Idaho town.
I believe that.
That is a timeless like thing, and that was totally on purpose. They didn't want you to know when it was set or like what was happening, and that basically that they're all stuck in this 80s time loop, essentially.
Hmm.
So, funny. Yeah. But I love the interactions in Napoleon Dynamite, just the awkwardness.
Let me ask you this question. This is wheels off, but did you like it the first time you watched it, or did it take you a couple watches to kind of like understand it?
That one takes you a couple watches.
Yeah. Okay. Like. Game. Same.
But
okay.
Maybe I quote that movie more than any other. Like as
Nacho
I'm watching
Libre's
it, I'm like,
number one for me, but
I quote that movie a lot.
Yeah.
But yeah, the first run through isn't great.
Yeah.
Other high school movies, you got Grease. People are singing all the time. Ugh. Never seen that movie.
No, don't. I'll be honest. Terrible.
Don't feel like I need to.
Which is a whole other conversation of like adults playing teenagers in all of these movies.
Yeah.
But it is what it is.
Which,
my personal favorite.
What's your personal favorite?
Well, High School Musical
is
a musical, but man, it just gives you so many good feelings.
So what I'm realizing reading through the list, none of these are super realistic. And then to cap off, one that's coming out or has been out recently is Mean Girls, which don't get me started on Mean Girls, okay? Especially the new release, okay? I haven't seen, which may have just discounted everything I'm about to say. Haven't seen either of them. But, like, it doesn't,
come on.
It doesn't make sense to me, okay? How? What? And what? You take a movie, you adapt it to Broadway, okay? No problem there. But then you take the Broadway adaptation and then turn it back into a movie? How is the movie not then just the same? What? What's going on? Explain this to me.
It's different.
It's different. Yeah, it's a little different. But it's also, how can we make money on a movie that came out 20 years ago? And this is how they did it. So
I will say I have seen both of these movies.
Okay.
Mean Girls was big when I was a teenager. And I mean, it is definitely an exaggeration, but of all these movies, probably the most accurate when it comes to like cliques and hierarchies and trying to fit in and find friends and being awkward around a boy you like all of those themes definitely play out. The new movie is interesting because it introduces technology and social media and texting that the original movie didn't have. Mm-hmm. However, I'm going to sound like a grumpy old lady when I say this, but it was like, the costumes so inappropriate. Like it was a very inappropriate movie that, especially if I had a teenage boy, I would not be wanting them to go watch Renee Rapp in this movie personally. But it's funny. It's goofy. The original movie was stupid. And so the new one is stupid too, but in like a fun way.
Yeah.
It pokes fun at high school and trying to fit in and the fads and the diets and where do you sit at lunch. And so I do think some of that is more accurate than these other movies that we mentioned.
And it's funny too, as I was making the list of trying to find movies about teens, it seems to me that there were more TV shows recently about teens, specifically like in a high school setting. Like, you know, there's plenty of movies like about high schoolers, but you know, you're not focusing on, you know, what's going on in the high school. You know, TV shows like Outer Banks have been big. The Summer I Turned Pretty, Euphoria is a really big one that, you know, we could get into a whole conversation about that as well. You got 13 Reasons Why, Friday Night Lights. You know, there's a ton of TV shows. And I think, too, it might be interesting to view the market on, like, if they're appealing to teens, you might have better success with a TV show. Like, right, a 20-minute TV show versus, you know, getting them sit down for 2 hours. I don't know. But just an interesting thing there. Of I seem to have found more shows recently than movies about teens.
I do think it's worth mentioning, though, like I said, so many of these shows, adults are playing teenagers. They're not actually being played by teens, which is a whole weird thing.
Percy Jackson did it right, I feel like. They actually got literal...
The new one.
13, yeah, the new one. 13 to 14-year-olds to play, you know, the 12-year-olds.
Right.
So it's seems to be, hopefully, that they're catching some mistakes in trying to cast kids in roles for kids.
But I do think you have to be careful and just have conversations. You're going to hear us say this on the podcast all the time. Have conversations with teenagers, because when I watch a show like The Summer I Turned Pretty, which we've talked about in the past, I'm not recommending it. Please don't go watch it if you don't look into it. But it almost like idolizes drug use, and the parents give the kids drugs or are doing drugs or know that the kids are doing things that they shouldn't be doing and laugh it off. Like, it is not necessarily, hopefully, an accurate representation of those teenage years, of what is acceptable, of relationships between teenagers and parents. And so when you're watching some of these shows, I think it's important to remember this is not real life. And just because a TV show makes it seem cool doesn't mean that in real life that's going to play out the way you think it is.
Our worship minister is watching Outer Banks with his high school daughter and was having multiple times like, hey, like, that's, you can't really do that. Like, you know, if you don't call home for a few days, like, you're homeless, right? Like, it's like, you can't really just go that long without doing that. Like, right. Parties aren't actually like that, you know, just different things like that of like, you know, you see that on TV, you're like, okay, right? Especially if you're middle school or high school, like, okay, I haven't been to a party. I haven't been exposed to that. But like, if I am, like, is that really what it's like? Kind of fantasizing and romanticizing the side of life that really isn't that.
That's the word I was looking for. You got it, Caleb.
Nailed it.
But speaking of high school and a theme that runs through a lot of these movies, but especially going back to Mean Girls in that, and the new one, is friendship anxiety of where do I fit in? How do I make friends? And then once I have the friends, how do I act towards them? And we got a question from Spotify on the podcast that says, friendship anxiety would be a really interesting topic. I think many teens are going through this. I am one of them. Mm. And so let's do it. Let's dive into friendship anxiety. And I think that involves stress around, like I said, all the nuances of friends, which in middle school and high school is tough. I mean, I do not want to go back and redo friendships those teenage years. But I thought what was really interesting, just I'll throw out a couple of facts for you, but evidence from both human beings and primates indicates that we have a natural capacity to limit social networks. And so it's actually called Dunbar's number, which represents the number of people who we can maintain stable relationships with. It's 150.
Whoa,
really?
Which seems like a lot, but at the same time, let's think about teenagers and how many people they interact with. And they for sure have more Instagram followers than that and people they follow. Right. They also for sure have more contacts in their phone than that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And so if you're thinking about that, we really were designed or have a natural capacity to take care of 150 relationships, and they probably have triple that. That is reason to have anxiety around what I'm doing. And that's especially a big deal if you're a people pleaser, or maybe you have some sensitivity to like what people do or what they think. And so you are just really tuned into what others are around you. And not only are you dealing with yourself, but now you're dealing with 100 people and their feelings and what they're dealing with on an everyday basis. And that just gets really tricky.
Yeah.
And I just think too, going with the social media thing, they're juggling in-person relationships and online relationships. And just some of the nuances that I want to point out, especially if you're an adult listening, or if you're a teenager going like, oh yeah, you're right, I didn't realize what this looks like. But because of social media and your phone, you are seeing where your friends are at all times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're able to reach you at all times. You know when you're left out because you're seeing pictures or B-reels or snaps, mm-hmm. and you're not invited. You can see how many people like or how many friends like and comment on your post. And then you also have friends that, this is a huge thing, and maybe this is another episode for teenagers, but like if a friend posts a picture and you're their friend, like there is a certain standard of like, hey, I have to go like that really quick and I have to make a comment and I better make it good. And I better make sure I point out how pretty they are. And then you also have to reply to text and snaps. And if you're like Caleb, you have 300 that you haven't read. And so I just think that we are asking a lot of these teenagers. Yeah. There's no wonder that they have anxiety around their relationships and their friendships.
Well, and everything has to be curated too. Like, and that's, you know, if it's not like, even like get togethers, like I don't think it was like this when I was a teenager, but I know that there was probably some different versions of this, but friendships don't have to be work. They don't need to be work, mm-hmm. really. Like, I mean, like you need, like, that sounds bad. Like I obviously you need to care about your friends and you need to put effort and work is different. Like putting effort into a friendship, into like being there for somebody or checking in on your friends and being a good friend to them is one thing, but working in like, hey, like when we have a girls' night, we got to have this banner, we got to have all these Instagrammable things, and we have to have like take 17 pictures together, and like it's just that kind of stuff, in my opinion, creates more anxiety on top mm-hmm. of the fact that you already have the FOMO and the yeah. and the stuff that social media is creating. And just, you know, it's okay to say no to that kind of stuff and create boundaries in your friendships. But if you are going to do that kind of stuff, just remind yourself that your worth is not in an Instagram post or, you know, of yours or your friends for that matter. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, I'm an adult that struggles with, like, if I have friends that are hanging out without me, I'm like, when? Why didn't they ask me? Why didn't they call me or whatever?
Right.
Like, that's not going to go away. So you have to figure out how do I mentally deal with that when it does happen, because it's going to happen. And the first step might be like, hey, here's where my true friends are, and as long as I know my standing is good with them, I don't need to worry about the second level of friends as much.
Yeah.
Like I'll be nice, mm-hmm. but if they do things, I'm not going to worry about as much because these are my inner circle. These are my true friends.
I think that's where the problem of like having so many and being connected to so many people is, like, you feel like sometimes, well, I'm not on the inside with anybody because like mm-hmm. I'm trying so hard to stay just connected to all of these people that right. it's like I'm kind of in the circle, but like, you know, I'm not getting invited to all these things. And like, you know, like Tobin said, I think there's value to finding that close group of friends who pours into you. And like, you know, so many times I can even find myself being like, do I ask these people to hang out? Like, do they actually want to spend time with me? Like, you know, like did they just like not know I was available? Right. Am I not doing enough? And you can kind of get to spiral. And, you know, if you have those friends who are like, hey, we want you there. Right. And being able to be like, okay, I'm not a burden, frees you up to be able to say, hey, can we do this? Can I come? And, you know, not feeling like you're crossing some sort of unsaid social no-no, right? Of like,
yeah,
you know, hopefully have some confidence of being like, no, like they want me there, so I'm going to ask if I can go or ask if they want to hang out. But I think it's so, so, so important to have that group that you can trust. And if you feel like a group's excluding you and you've tried to have conversations and they keep being like, well, no, we're busy, sorry, might be time to also go and try to find a group that does pour life into you and does, you know, communicate and make you feel like you belong.
Yeah. So that's a great transition. Y'all have started, but let's get into some advice specifically for teenagers. So if you're a teen who's listening, or if you're an adult going, hey, what can I say to a teen who has friendship anxiety? The first one I'm going to speak to, because then I think we're going to get off on like relationships you already have. But if you have a teenager who does not have friends or who is looking for friends, maybe they've gone to a new school or something, some sort of transition happened, encourage them to put yourself in environments to make friends. So maybe that's playing a sport, joining a club, start a hobby that involves others, or like your favorite class. So maybe one that you enjoy, try to find someone that sits around you that you can talk to. And maybe that looks like, hey, have you studied for this test? You want to swap notes? It can start in a class context and maybe move outside of that. Mm-hmm. But I know people too, teenagers, who have anxiety about like, what am I going to say?
Yeah.
So maybe that's like you're saying, Caleb, maybe they need to have a conversation with a friend that's going to be tough of like, hey, I felt left out. What was that about? Or maybe they don't want to do something and they're not sure what to say when someone asks them to hang out. And so they have anxiety about that. Try a script. Like, have a couple things in your mind that you practice with yourself. Maybe you ask an adult, like, hey, will you run through this scenario with me? Because I'm worried about that. And that could also be helpful.
It's so hard because, like, it's too, like, you know, if you are a teen, like, and you feel well connected and you have those people who, like, are so hard for you, maybe, right? Or don't mesh well. You're right. There's a balance of, like, trying not to be rude. Like, I mean, I think back to like my time in high school or even sometimes in college, like we had those people who, like, you know, every time you hang out with them, it's just like so draining for everybody. And, you know, looking back, like we would do dumb stuff. Like we'd be hanging out and be like, hey, we're all going to actually, we got to go home. Like, sorry, our parents need us. And then we'd go hang out without that one person. Like, it's crazy. Like to think about the things that like I did, right? To exclude people. And it's hard to come up with advice other than like, just try not to do that. But like, I think like you don't understand kind of the power that you have, right? Just like as a human that people probably look up to, like, right. If you are in that position where you feel well connected, to invite other people who don't have that community, who don't have that relationship in to maybe what you have, not even all the time, just like once or just given an invite could change the way someone even views themselves so much. Like, I don't think teenagers understand like how much power you have over relationships, over different people. I'm not saying like if there's someone who's draining you or a toxic relationship that you need to hang out with them all the time, like have conversations and have, hey, whenever you're with us, all you talk so negative, like is there a way, like, you know, where you could like talk more positive or things like that? Or like if someone wants to hang out, be like, no, like I'm sorry, this is just for us, but we'll get you next time. Like I'm sorry. And like that can be hard, but a lot of times that's easier than seeing people like, well, they just avoided me. But sure, it's such a hard thing to navigate. It is. I've been in that situation.
Friendships ebb and flow too. We talked about that last week with relationships. It's the same thing with friendships. How these friends aren't always going to be like your ride or dies forever, and that's okay. Like, and just know that. And some of it may go in seasons too. Like it can even be things that are not even out of your control. Like maybe they're in a sport or a club that's just more demanding in certain times of the year, and there's nothing you can do about that. And beating yourself up about it is not going to do anything. Let's give some advice for some adults. Like, so if you have a student or a kid with some friend anxiety, the main thing is like just check in on them, make sure that they're good. And then if you do have a student or a teen that's like doesn't necessarily put themselves out there, or like you know they have anxiety, like have like an outward, like where like you can be the bad guy. Like if a friend, like if you know that they don't really want to be that, like they don't want to hang out, or but they can't have that conversation, or they can't say no, like be the bad guy. Who cares if the kids don't like you? Like, it doesn't matter. Like, nope, sorry, he's got to do, you know, chores or whatever. And that way that gives the kid the chance to be like, oh, sorry. Like I really would love to hang out, but my parents, you know, need me at home. And so like be that guy for them, because you want, not only will that give them a chance to have recharge and not have to do everything, but it also, it creates that bond and that relationship with that you have, so they can trust you more with that kind of stuff. And then in that same light, you're teaching them good boundaries too, of here's, and then eventually that's, you know, hopefully your teen will be able to say that stuff without blaming it on you. But, you know, I think there's a fine line between encouraging them to step outside of their comfort zone and then forcing them to do stuff out of their comfort zone. So just kind of make sure I'm guilty of that as a parent, of forcing my kid into like social situations that maybe he's not quite ready or doesn't want to be in and stuff. So just remember that fine line, and then, you know, just have some empathy when they're struggling, because like, this is, I mean, like, we all remember what it was like. It's tough, and it's even harder now. Like, it's worse now. Like, that, I look at so many things that kids are going through these days, and I'm like, man, I'm so thankful that we didn't have like social media or even internet when I was a teen, because that would be awful. Like, awful.
Well, and I think with that, so many teens see their friends struggling with heavy stuff that even us as adults would be like, man, how do I handle that? How do I handle when they talk about their mental health or how sad they are all the time? But if you're a teenager, you don't have to have all the answers. You don't have to be the one that steps in all the time. Reach out and ask someone for help. So maybe that's going to a parent or going to a school counselor, or talking to a friend's parent that they're like, hey, I know you're close to them. Will you check on them? Because I don't know what to do here anymore. And so I feel like sometimes teenagers take on what their friends are going through on themselves as well. And so hear me say, it's okay to ask for help and not feel like you have to have the answer for everything. And that's where adults come in, to asking good questions, being curious, making sure that in good times and in bad, you're asking how friendships are going and how are their friends feeling. Or if you feel like you have a good relationship with a friend, when they come over, be like, hey, how you doing? And check in on their mental health for them. And maybe that would help lessen some of the anxiety on your teenagers. Yeah. And with that, that's a wrap on this episode. So make sure you subscribe on YouTube or wherever you find your podcast. And we're also on social media and TikTok, so find us there. And as always, remember that teenagers are not a problem to be solved.